most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we're coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is about informative entertainment, and we do it in a fun, upbeat style. And we provide you with tips, advice, resource information on how you can pursue a career in show business. We have guests that work in various professions of the entertainment industry, so that means that we will definitely have someone from a career that you're interested. If you want to know who will be on our show in the future, you can visit the Question Reality website, the official website, and that address is questionreality.us, not .com, questionreality.us. And that has all the guests up until the end of the year, and then we start our new season in January, which is not up yet, but there's enough for you to keep you interested until the end of the year. Now, if you want to check out any of our past guests, read their bios, listen or download any of the shows, you can do that. If you're on the LA Talk Radio website right now, if you look up at the top, you'll see the Schedule 1 link that's up at the top of the LA Talk Radio website. Click on that. Look for our show, Question Reality, in the time slot of Sunday at 5. And click on the link. That'll take you to our archive page, and then you can peruse at your own leisure. And you can hit play. Now, if you hit play, the show will start immediately. But you can also right-click and hit download, and you can download the show right to your computer. You can also get us on – we're in the podcast section on iTunes, so you can hear us on there as well. Now, we'd love to have you call in and ask questions or provide comments for any guests that we have on the show. We welcome you to do that. But we ask that you call in between 5:20 and 5:30. That way, we can give the guests a little time to get acclimated and feel more comfortable. We don't want to attack them as soon as they come on, make them nervous. Now, when you call in, we take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process. Just call the number. Again, if you're on the website right now, you should be looking at it. It's right in front of you. It's 323-203-0815. And we've got a lot to cover. My boys are on the line. However, I've got a major intro for them, so they have to be quiet for a couple minutes and not say anything. I know it's killing them because they want to jump right in there. But these guys, I have to tell you, I know that we had advertised that today's show would bring forth Eric Schwerz, CEO of Basketware. However, and this is my assumption, I assume that with the explosion of recent news that his Basketware underwear were the ones clinging the buttocks of Levi Johnson in the Playgirl spread, I assume that Mr. Schwerz has been bombarded with new pressing matters to attend to because he could not be with us today. However, exciting. The man responsible for this great PR campaign to get those little underwear on Levi Johnston's tushy is here with us today along with his partner. And they are Steve Levine and Stephen Lucent. Now, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly because I wasn't sure, so I just went with the vampiric pronunciation. It sounds very vampire-like, so I just went with the Lucian, and he'll correct me, of course. And they are of the PR Grapevine Agency. Now, if you want to check up on them right now, you can do that by opening another tab on your browser, and their website address is, now listen carefully because it's a little tricky, it's theprgrapevine.com. Again, theprgrapevine.com. Don't make the same mistake that I did when I first pulled them up. I pulled up thegrapevine.com, and I ended up with some damn domestic nanny company. I'm like, what? He owns a domestic nanny company? No, it's theprgrapevine.com. Now, a little bit about Steve and Stephen. They are from the East Coast like I am. We're neighbors. I'm from Connecticut, as everybody knows. They are from Jersey. Jersey, New Jersey. They're New Jersey natives. These little natural-born entrepreneurs, Stephen Levine and Stephen Luchin, they graduated from college. They didn't realize that only 3 years later, those little suckers would be running the Grapevine Public Relations Agency. And it's one of the first boutique PR agencies dedicated to the $759 billion per year LGBT market. And their specific focus is on representing popular entertainment artists, thriving new businesses, and nonprofit organizations. Those are the three core reasons for their existence. Now, following its launch in 2007, this LA-based agency instantly generated incredible enthusiasm, as has come to develop a remarkable roster of respected clientele. And you know some of their clientele because they've been right here on my show. That would include that hottie of hotties, Jack McEnroe from Project Runway Season 4, that trendy underwear brand Basketwear, who I was just talking about, the one who the underwear donned on the little tushy of Levi Johnson. Some people were like, who's Levi Johnson? I said, no, you are not asking me who the hell Levi Johnson is. But, you know, I can understand it. So I have to explain. Okay, some people are going, who's Levi Johnson? Again, he was the boyfriend of Bristol Palin, who's Sarah Palin's daughter. Okay, so you got it. You know the scoop now. He was also dating Kathy Griffin at a time. I saw that on TMZ, but I don't know what happened with that. So anyway, this is the situation. They also have Todd and Terry, who are award-winning global recording artists. He was on our show recently. Sacha Sackett, Cassidy Haley, founder of Skin Graph, include a clothing line that's worn by the likes of, oh, my favorite singer, oh, my heartthrob, Adam Lambert. Oh, I love that guy. Oh, I could turn him straight in one night. I just know I could. Just give me a chance, Adam, if you're listening. David Cook and Fergie, among others. We got Ari Gold and Cortez Alexander. Oh, I love my Cortez Alexander. Amanda Lepore, actors Daryl Stevens and Michael Carbonaro. And of course, my little cutie, face-to-face New York City day spa, Enrique Ramirez. He was on the show recently. Love that guy. I want to scoop him up with a little spoon. And then Rob Williams from Guest House Films and Proteus Pictures, and internet sensation Devin Green. They've got Pink Banana Media. I love that. There's something with that name, Pink Banana Media. I know there's subtext involved somewhere. I don't know. Leading photographers Justin Monroe and Dylan Rosser, and the Trevor Project, which is the only national 24/7 hotline for suicidal LGBG youth. Now, some of the brass ring media placements Grapevine has secured their clients' coverage is including, they had the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, The Hollywood Reporter, Variety, Sirius XM Radio, USA Today, Associated Press, Comedy Central, and Fox News, among countless other mainstream consumer and trade magazines. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. They also do LGBT and niche publications and broadcasts, radio, alternative media. You name it, they got it. They can do it. They can hook you up. Now, most recently, Grapevine landed its client, as I just said earlier, Basketwear Underwear, in Playgirl's highly anticipated Levi Johnson shoot. And we have to keep mentioning that over and over because that's like the big shit right now. That is the scene. And that, of course, that garnered the underwear brand press in hundreds of mainstream media outlets and Hollywood gossip blogs. And of course, I know I got some serious emails like, why did they cut him off at the waist? Where are the underwear? How can I see the underwear? I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. You have to buy the magazine. But yeah, I got a lot of emails after I sent out my email blast, and I will let them answer that question. Now, For itself, Grapevine has been featured in over 20 publications, including PR Week, Anything Holiday, Any Day, what am I saying? Anything Hollywood. I'm thinking Halloween. Halloween. Yes, that's what I was saying. Anything Hollywood, Tactics, The Advocate, Echelon, and Refresh Magazine. I think Jack McElrath was on the cover of that as the Golden Boy. I think that's the magazine. And the company has also worked on VIP events for Donna Summer and Broadway's Crybaby, the musical. I met Johnny Depp, by the way, and he kissed my hand. Yes, he did. Got that story. If anybody's interested, let me know. Be more than happy to share. Okay. They've also lent support to Adam Buska's NOH8 campaign alongside celebrities like Fran Drescher. Oh, my God, I love Fran Drescher. Ashley Simpson, who's doing a fantastic job, by the way, on Melrose Place. I had no idea that girl could act, but she is the actress. I like her acting better than her singing. She is rocking the acting. Pete Wentz, Perez Hilton, who doesn't love him, Blink-182's Mark Hoppus, Meghan McCain, Emmy Rossum, and Tara Reid. Oh, my girl Tara. The campaign is a silent photographic protest launched in direct response to the California passing of Proposition 8 last fall, which banned gay marriage throughout the state. My God, that was such a mouthful. I'm so glad I got through that, and I'm sure that I've left something out. But first of all, may I say to Steve Levine that I am personally so grateful to you for supplying me with such great clients. You have such wonderful clients for the show. You have literally, I started my show for the fall season, and it was just a boon that I ran into, or actually got an email from Steve Levine asking if one of his clients could be on my show. And I just thought, well, you know, do you have any more guests that I might be interested in? Oh my God, when he showed me the list, I said, these people are hot. These are celebrities, these are stars, these are people that my audience definitely want to know more. And he has single-handedly supplied me with my guests for October, November, and December, and of course, some for the new fall season. So, Stephen, I want to thank you so much. Your clients are so professional, they're kind, and most of all, down to earth, which is the most important aspect of the show to me. And I want to say, welcome Steve Levine and Stephen Luchin! Are you there? Or are you sleeping after all that?
No, I never sleep.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Well, I couldn't put you to sleep because, I mean, who goes to sleep when they're being talked about, right? When they're getting all the laurels and accolades, who the hell's going to sleep? You're like, yeah, woo!
Oh, we don't sleep. I don't sleep, at least.
Now, you two sound just alike, so I'm going to have to distinguish who we got here. So we got Steve Levine and Stephen Luchin. Now, both of you guys, I have so many questions for you. A couple of them came from emails. I'm going to try to get in as many emails as possible, but I may miss you. If I do, I apologize. And then some of them are my questions. So let's start out with the first question that we have. My first question is for both of you to answer individually. And we'll start with Stephen Levine. Now, both of you are so young and successful. I know both of you worked separately in the PR business before, but take us back to the beginning of the journey. How did both of you know individually that working as a PR guy was the right path for you? How old were you, or what happened to make that light bulb glow over your head? When you found out, what steps did you take to make that dream a reality? We'll start with Stephen Levine. Steve Levine.
Sure. Well, I was in high school, and prior to wanting to be a publicist or knowing what a publicist was, I wanted to be a pharmacist and I wanted to be an architect, and that was, you know, to the extent. Well, I was terrible in math, so architect was out, and the pharmacist was kind of just something, you know, in the meantime. I didn't really know anything else. But I used to love, back in the, I guess it would be the mid to late 90s, I used to love putting concerts on tape. I guess it would be called bootlegging. It's probably not, you know, mm-hmm. you know, something I was supposed to be doing. But I was, I would send copies out to people on the web of, you know, musicians that I liked. It was kind of just to promote them, and I liked getting them back. And talking with my father, and he said, you know, you should be a publicist. And I said, well, what's that? And he described it. He said, you promote people and companies, and you know, you just promote through the media. So I, you know, I tried it out. I took some courses in college, just starting out in college in the beginning years, and it just hit me. I liked it and I enjoyed it, and from there I took more courses until I majored in it, and it was sort of just kind of happened naturally.
And Stephen, is that the same way it happened for you?
No, a little differently. I never really wanted to be a pharmacist, I should say. I always knew that I loved promoting things, and the difference also was that I always enjoyed being in editorial. And while a publicist isn't necessarily someone who works in magazines, and you're always dealing with magazines, so I had that experience. And when a friend of mine was telling me, hey, you know, you love promoting, you love writing, why don't you do publicity, I did a little more research, and by the time I was ready to graduate college in about 2005, I graduated with an English degree, so I'm like, well, what else can I do with this other than teach? So I figured it was the best thing to do to go into business as a publicist and just start promoting things that I really felt passionate about.
Okay, so, well, that sounds logical to me. Now, I know that some people have a natural gift at PR and start without college, and some elect to change career paths and get into PR, but some people... to get started, they want to start taking classes in college. Now, separately, again, I'd like your advice for all three routes. What would you say are the basic inherent characteristic traits that you must possess in order to succeed in the PR business? And also, what classes are necessary if you decide to go that route? And we'll start with Stephen Levine.
I guess I would say, you know, some sort of a personality. You need to have some sort of a vibrant personality. You want to give people the impression that they like you and that they can stand behind what you're standing behind, essentially. So that would be one thing, is, you know, a vibrant personality, a sincere personality. The second thing I would say is, obviously, it's kind of hand-in-hand with sincerity, but it would be credibility, because, you know, if you're pitching the media things that you really can't stand behind, or that that the media can't stand behind, since they're writing about it or publicizing it themselves, giving the exposure, then they're not going to trust you in the future. The third thing, I guess, would be some sort of, you have to be sort of aggressive, but, that's sort of, you know, could be argued there are certain publicists that are very aggressive, and there are certain publicists that are not aggressive at all. They're kind of timid. Where I fall, I guess, is sort of in the middle. I'm aggressive when I need to be, but I don't like to nag the media.
Mm-hmm.
So credibility, personality, and some sort of, persistence.
Okay. And what would you say? Would you agree with that? And do you have anything to add on that, Stephen?
Yeah, I think that sincerity and excitement are definitely needs that somebody who wants to get into publicity absolutely needs to possess. Whether you learn it through experience or something you bring to the table, it's always good if it's something you could bring to the table because you've already got it. And then just answering your question about the classes, I didn't take any classes in school for PR, but I think some important ones would be maybe Journalism 101, just to understand the side of a journalist. You know, see what's in their head. How are they going after a story? What's new? What's hot? You know, how can you tell from what's something sincere? How can you tell from something that's a little different than that? That might just be a little more entertainment based. So I think maybe taking some journalism classes would definitely come in handy.
And maybe some English classes. They need to write something. I mean, do you guys write your own? When you do, because the two of you are at the company, I don't know if you have assistants, et cetera, but usually when people start out, it's usually they're on their own. Wouldn't you recommend that they have some sort of capacity to write complete sentences? Because you do write the ad copy, I would say, or the public publicity
right.
releases, et cetera, right? So maybe some English classes
right.
as well?
That's essential. You know, you need to be able to construct sentences. You need to have you know,
you need to have some parallel subject verb agreement.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you guys, but I get some emails. Oh my God, I am such a stickler for people to write correctly because I got A's in all of my English classes, and I just cannot focus on what an email says if it's not written correctly. I actually have to read it, stop, put the punctuation in my mind, and then continue. And emails can be very confusing, as well as writing. And if you write the wrong thing, I guess, about your client, I mean, that little press release is your bread and butter, I would imagine, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you gotta get people excited. You gotta know the target words. So I don't know. How do you know the target words? I mean, is that more street? Is that more common sense? Or is that something that you could take maybe in classes? I think they are offering some public relations classes now at colleges. I got a couple emails from people. Do they offer public relationship classes? I know they do, but I think they'll have to do research on their own, and I would imagine, right?
Yeah, most universities offer PR, or if it's not a PR focus, they offer just basic communication courses. So
right.
Journalism, any sort of media law, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Now, so we definitely know English. So to answer your question, Estelle, I think they both have covered definitely English, definitely some sort of journalism. And I don't know, but I would say I'm going to throw one in there and see if you guys agree with me, because I thought maybe some psychology classes of some sort, because don't you guys have to deal with a ton of personalities? And, I mean, they might start off nice, but you know those damn claws are coming out sooner or later if you're not doing what they want you to do. So what about some psychology classes or something like that?
Sure. I don't see why, you know, anything, listen to anything is important when you run a business and when you're dealing with people.
Yeah, I mean, you got to learn something. I would recommend some yoga classes for yourself to handle these bitches, right? Because they are, some of them are some really nasty people out there. I got a friend who's a PR guy in New York, and he handles a lot of Broadway people. And, oh, my God, he has a headache every day. The poor guy is, like, really – he's on the props, and every day he's got the bottles lined up. And he says you have to grin and bear it, you know? He says you just have to do it, which leads me – now, on to my next question. If somebody wanted to skip college and try their hand at the PR business because they felt they had a natural ability, how would you recommend that they get started? You know, say they don't have a ton of money. They just maybe have very little money, or, you know, no money at all. How would they get started? What would you do?
I'll take this answer. I think that it's important just to have that natural excitement first about anything. Whenever you're starting any kind of business, definitely have some sort of passion behind what it is that you want to get started with. But definitely, I mean, the thing about PR, too, is that you don't necessarily need a lot of overhead costs in the beginning. So it's probably good to just find a niche, figure out who it is that you'd like to represent, and then go for it. Just, you know, reach out to the people in this community, whether it's LGBT or cooking or anything. Just go ahead and let people know that you're out there. You have to start your company first, of course, go through all the legal measures. But then following that, just send letters, send emails, just, you know, constantly pitching.
You brought up a great point. You just said after you set up all the legitimate business stuff, we completely didn't even talk about that. What exactly does that entail? Now, you obviously can operate to get started out of your home. Most people do work out of their home. What exactly do you have to file, or what legally do you have to do to start your own PR firm? As I'm helping you have somebody else start a competitive firm, and
yeah,
you probably don't like me.
it's
okay. It's all about sharing, right? Sharing.
Exactly.
Enough to go around. Absolutely enough to go around.
Yeah. So how would one do that? What do you have to file, or what do you do?
A friend and accountant.
Oh, yeah.
The best thing to do is to talk to an accountant or to a lawyer, and then find out what kind of a company. Partnership with a friend, a sole proprietorship, an S-corp, so any kind of company formation that you're interested in forming, then find out what the legal technicalities of each are. Because some, if it's just a partnership, you just have to file at the local state offices. Or if it's a bigger corporation, you have to go through the state and federal governments to set up different tax rates and all that other fun stuff.
And is this Stephen Luchin or Steve Levine talking? Okay, I'm telling you, I'm getting the voices. Bear with me. I have to feel it out. Okay, so did you want to contribute anything to that? Did he pretty much cover it, Steve? Or
he got it all, yeah.
Really he's got stuff. It all.
He got it all. And he has tough bumps. You know, if you go into, you know, the office, they'll help you. And you just tell them, you know, go to your state or your municipal office and tell them what you're trying to do. And that's pretty much it. Or get an accountant to help guide you.
Fantastic. Now, that is, now, to start out with by yourself being a PR person, that seems like, you know, an easy thing, but very tricky when you hook up with those partnership things there, because we have seen some partnerships go down south real quick. How do you protect yourself and remain friends? Because, you know, when you go into business, you really risk losing a friendship there. So how do you protect yourself, you know, from that, either legally or socially? What do?
I'd say you start with drafting up some sort of contract that, you know, says, you know, and you have to work out, you know, if you want it to be 50-50, which generally isn't a good idea. But, you know, somebody kind of usually has to have a little bit more of a, you know, power over the other one in those cases when you do break it off. But yeah, you have to have some sort of semblance of a contract, or you actually have to have a contract. Write something up, draft it up, and that's pretty much it. You know, that's another thing where you might want to work with an attorney in the beginning, so you both can come to an agreement, because they do go south a lot of the times. People have different,
They say that you don't need attorneys, but the attorneys come in handy when you get down to the fist fighting and hair pulling. Am I right? I mean, we definitely need attorneys. Lawyers are good. I'm pro attorneys for sure. Now let me ask you: when you are when you're first starting out as a PR person, and how do you go about getting your first client? All right, this is like a three-part question. We'll start with Steve Levine. Okay, when you're starting out as a PR, you put your little shingle out. Say you didn't get your client already. So how do you go about getting a first client, which is the first question? And very good question, which a lot of people are asking me, what are your expectations of your client, and do you tell them this in the beginning meeting once you decide to take them on? Third question, what are the do's and don'ts to be able to keep a great relationship with your PR person and vice versa with your client? So first question, how do you go about getting your first client if you don't have one?
Well, it's not the easiest thing, but it's obviously, you know, it's doable. You have to figure out first, what are you offering? What are you bringing to the table? What makes your PR agency or firm special? Now, it depends on, you know, if you want to go the entertainment route, if you want to go, you know, in any other industry, it depends on how you reach out to the clients. But generally, you start out by just pitching clients, you know, through emails, through cold calls, just any way of making contact with them and telling them what you're offering, and that you like to possibly set up a meeting if they're interested. And you go from there, and you see if they if there's any response rate. Usually, the response rate, you know, with that sort of thing is fairly low, because mm-hmm. you're offering basically it's a business, not a venture, but you're trying to sell a product, which is always you always have a
and yeah
rate.
Basically, you're selling an intangible because you don't have anybody else. So you're saying, I can do it.
Right.
I can do it. Give me money. I can do it. Yay, 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 rah, rah, rah. And they're like, who the hell are you? Just go out and do it. I'm not paying you shit. And then if you get
right.
something, I'll throw some coin your way, right?
Well,
is that what happens a lot when you get your first client? You got to do a freebie?
Yeah, a lot of times you have to do a pro bono, or you have to do it on some sort of deferred compensation to show that, you know, you're going to prove to them, you know, what you can do for them. And, you know, it's sort of, it's a slow process. You go through some pro bono clients and you prove yourself and you prove your worth. And, you know, that's how you show, you know, new clients, how much you can essentially charge them, how much you're worth.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you do that, do you pretty much in the beginning say, you know, I'll do a freebie for you, it's pro bono, but how do you cut that off? Because they may be thinking, well, this shit's going to continue. Hey, now, I was the first client. I deserve some loyalty here on their end. How do you delicately put that no, you will not be getting free shit in a swag bag for the rest of our working relationship? You know, how do you do that?
You kind of just take it on a case-by-case basis. I mean, it depends on how many pro bono clients you started with. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you've got to say, listen, you know, depending on if it's one of the first that sort of gave you the start or if it's one of them that came along afterwards, you kind of have to say to them, listen, you know, we have to allocate enough hours to all of our clients that, you know, that are paying. And, you know, we can either, you know, give you some sort of a deal or we have to charge you our usual rate, but we can't continue to honor a pro bono sort of retainer, you know, package.
Right. And they shouldn't expect you to do so. They shouldn't expect you to do so. And if they do, then you can just, you know, get rid of them because you've already got a second client by then. Now, what are your, because a lot of people, this happens very often with actors and agents and talent managers. They don't really know what they're supposed to do because the agent doesn't tell them. So a lot of times what happens is the agent ends up dropping them or they end up going to another agent because it was not established in the inception of the relationship what the expectations are. As a PR person, as both of you, I don't know if you've come to an agreement as to what the rules are, what your expectations are of a client, and do you do it and make sure that it's in stone that both of you agree so that there's no confusion, or do you do it separately because you both have different needs? So that's the question. Now, what are your expectations of the client? And then what are the do's and don'ts of being able to keep a great relationship with a PR person on their end, and also what do you expect? And we'll start with Stephen Levine.
Oh, okay. Oh. So the first question is, about expect client handling. I guess it would be managing client expectations. Mm-hmm. With that, it's all about, you know, you want to basically manage the client expectations and be proactive at it and do it at the beginning before, you know, right as you start working with them, because you can't turn around after 6 months and they say, you know, this is what I was expecting of you, and, you know, now I'm finding out that it's not how it works. So you sort of tell them, you know, and some of it's a learning, it's always a learning curve in the first, you know, couple to a few months of working with the client. You know, some think that they're going to get a lot of clips. They think they're going to get the brass ring media. They think they're going to get everything at the beginning. And it's sort of, you know, with a great story, of course you can get that. But, you know, it all depends on what you have, what you're trying to sell to the media. And sometimes, you know, clients think that they're going to get a lot of press at the beginning, you know, a lot of press in general. And, you know, it may be a little bit slower than they thought. Or, you know, some clients think that they're going to get a little press. And, you know, it can work both ways. So you want to manage the client expectations at the beginning and mm-hmm. show them what to expect.
And do you, for example, would some of your expectations be, I expect you to check in with me, I expect you to, I would think, now this is just what I'm throwing out, because I would think that I would like my client to keep in constant contact with me, because a lot of times they
Absolutely.
Are working out deals on their own on the side, and
right.
how the heck do you manage that? If they do their own deal on the side, is that something separate that you just say, okay, go ahead and do, or what do you say if somebody works something else out and you weren't a part of it? How do you get yourself involved, or do you?
I'll chime in here. I think it's actually pretty easy. If the client goes ahead behind you and just does something on their own, then that's fine. But oftentimes we'll say, if you are going to manage something outside of us, if you wouldn't mind just letting us know so that we are aware not to approach this person about it. Because sometimes we run into a situation where we're approaching somebody and they're like, oh, we already spoke to your client. And we're like, oh, okay. Then we have to go back to the client and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I managed this already, but, you know, thanks for checking in. But, and then we'll say, you know, next time, if you wouldn't mind, just let us know so that we know not to do double work here. So
yeah, and that makes you look like you're not, that makes you look like you're not in touch with your client. So you would say that you definitely tell the client, hey, you guys need to keep in constant contact. If you make something on your own, you need to tell me about it. And as far as returning phone calls, I would imagine that you do emphasize that a client should return your phone calls because they never know what you're calling about, and check their emails. A lot of people do not do that. Actors are infamous for not doing that, so I don't know if that's something that you emphasize. But what other expectations do you have that you would say that you, you know, what are the do's and don'ts? What should they definitely not do that's going to tick you off or jeopardize their relationship with you as their PR person?
I'm going to chime in really quick, and then I'll let Stephen offer his opinions. But one thing that's extremely important not to do as a client is to embellish. Basically, you want to almost like a client deals with a lawyer. You want to tell that lawyer everything, whether, you know, they're not going to use it, but they need to know. You shouldn't tell your publicist or embellish stories that they're going to release to the media, because what you're essentially doing is, if that story isn't exactly the way that that it's happened, you know, your publicist is going to go to the media, and the media is going to find out, and they're not going to ever want to listen to your publicist again. Mm. You want to be incredibly honest with your publicist. Your publicist can spin it if they need to, but you want to let them know exactly, you know, what the event is, let's say it's an event, or what the story is about, and you don't want to embellish it. And Steven?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that honesty is integrity. So we're always asking our clients to be honest with us, and they have always, for the most part, been honest with us. And we pride ourselves on being very honest with the media. We're not going to blow anything out of proportion that's not, you know, supposed to be blown out of proportion, and we're not going to try and ram anything down anybody's throat. So we're always trying to find, from what we're given or what we research or what we find, the best angle that will appeal to the specific media outlets audience. So there's no point in blowing. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I agree with you. Now, in doing that, though, I know that the clients tell you, like, a lot of stuff. Now, of course, they shouldn't embellish anything, but what about when they tell you the truth and that shit is just not right? Do you have any sort of confidentiality agreement put in place when you sign these clients on? Do they sign a contract and within it is a confidentiality agreement that what they tell you is not going to be spread all over the place?
There's a hard hold harmless agreement, which is similar in that if we do leak something, we're letting them know if we do that we're not, you know, I guess it would be a little bit different. It's not something that we have in our contract. It's sort of, I've never encountered it in PR, but of course it's something that we could look into. It's a good idea. Our clients, I mean, in terms of us specifically, it's never been an issue. They usually trust us, but it is something that I think should be recommended.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't know if that was a standard in the business or not, if you have confidentiality agreements. I had no idea, but it seems like it should be a good idea, because that way they'd feel more comfortable telling you when they were someplace that they shouldn't be, right? How does a person know when he or she is at the point in their career when they need a PR person? Of course, I think everybody needs a PR person who's in entertainment, or at least think they do, because, I mean, that really can make or break your career. Of course, if you have a PR person, you have a very good shot of shooting yourself right on to stardom. I mean, if you're an actor, a singer, you know, anybody, really. But how does a person know, or how do you know? Because I would imagine that it's not just anybody who's going to slap down money and say, hey, Steven, I want you to be my PR person and they have no damn talent or nothing going on,
right,
and they live under the bridge, I mean, money is not going to, I mean, you're not going to honestly take their money, I would hope. So at what point right. do you realize or approach someone and say, you are at the point where you need a PR person?
Well, a publicist, this is Stephen Lucen, the publicist is great at keeping somebody on point. So it's always great for somebody to know when to hire a publicist is when they're an entertainment artist and they have something coming out, whether it's a movie or a show or a CD or something related to that, a launch. And they've established themselves somewhat in the industry, they've created a following, and they have something that's ready to go out. Then you're ready for a publicist. And the publicist will help you with their connections through the media get you to publicize whatever that project is that you're working on now. And they'll keep you on point with it so that if anything else comes out about it, it's like they have to go to your publicist first and then they'll go to you. So the media, that is.
Mm-hmm.
But other times, if you have a new business that's opening up and you have a great story, or if you have a brand new roast of coffee that's coming out, just anything brand new, something that's interesting and intriguing and you feel like you want a little extra help or a lot of help with the media, then definitely it's time for a publicist. And when we're ready to approach somebody, it's always, hey, you know, we noticed you here and we think that you're awesome. We really would love to stand behind you. So then we'll approach the person and see if they're as receptive to our outreach as we hope them to be. Otherwise, you know, then we just move on to the next thing that we find of interest. And that kind of stays in tune with what we've been doing within our niche community,
mm-hmm.
niche market.
Mm-hmm. And can a person hire a PR person just for, like, one launch? Or when you hire a PR person,
absolutely.
You have to stay with them for months and months. Can they say, hey, you know, I just need you to do this one thing for me? You know what
no,
I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. Steve, if you want to take this one.
Yeah, it could be on a project basis. It really depends on if what you're – you know, what your client or prospective client is doing is, you know, if it's going to be something on a consistent basis or if it's just one select project. So if generally, if, you know, let's say a show is opening, you know, at the theater, but it's only going to be a two-week run, you know, they're not going to need you for longer than that 2 weeks. So you may want to start something like that maybe between 2 and 3 months because of the lead time of most print publications is between usually about 3 months. So, if you start publicizing it a week or two prior to the opening, it's not going to work. You're not going to get much press for it. So something like that, you know, you want to work on more of a project basis. But if you're a business, if you're an actor, if you're a filmmaker, you know, so forth, that you know, has something going on consistently, you want to keep the media exposure consistent. You don't want to just do it and start it or stop it at all and, you know, start it after a few months because it's not gonna help you. Everything in terms of PR, advertising, marketing, you always want to keep it consistent. You never
mm-hmm.
want to have a stop-start relationship
mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I want to talk about now we're at 5:43 and we got to get off at 5:50. So I've got a lot more questions, but I want to make sure that you guys got to talk about everything that you want to talk about. I have a couple more questions here. I don't know if it fits in with what you want to talk about. I know it goes fast, doesn't it? You think, oh God, what the hell am I going to talk about for 50 minutes? And then the next thing you know, it's over, right? That's because I have all these deep probing Maury Povich questions over here. That's what it is. Real quick, I don't know who wants to take this, but it's been said that that the PR Grapevine company, some of your business strategies include Web 2.0 technology to enhance a more viral visibility for your clients. I've never heard of Web 2.0 technology. What is this method that you guys use at Grapevine, and how does it work?
Sure. I'll take this because that's sort of more from my area. David Meerman Scott, an author who I was introduced to by one of my clients and a good friend, his name is Matthew Scallarid. He runs Pink Banana Media, and he's also on the LA Gay Lesbian Chamber of Commerce with me. He's on the board, the communication board. And David Meerman Scott basically says that traditional PR is sort of, which is print media and that sort of thing, the way it's always been in the past, is sort of going away, and Web 2.0 is coming, you know, is taking the helm, I guess, you know, it's in the driver's seat. And I actually believe that traditional media is not completely going away, that it's sort of merging with it. But basically, Web 2.0 technology is anything related to social media. It's really a lot of things, you know, it's online. It's blogs and Facebook and Twitter and, you know, all of those sites that help you virally get your content out there rather than pitching a magazine who, you know, writes a story or, you know, radio or TV broadcast.
Like MySpace, Facebook, I see. And YouTube, would that be included?
Exactly. Yes. And there are, I mean, a lot of PR firms are going this way. There's some that sort of continue to, you know, to use traditional media, not sort of incorporate or supplement Web 2.0, but we're supplementing it with Web 2.0 because it's, you know, it's the easiest, it's one of the quickest ways to get information out there, and it's sort of where a lot of the media is going and where the media itself picks up a lot of the stories. So it's extremely important to go that route now.
Oh, I think that you're on top of it, Stephen. Now, we got a couple minutes. What are some of your company's proudest achievements? I know you've had a ton, but if you guys both want to chime in, we'll start with Stephen Levine.
Oh, in terms of media placements, I guess would be
anything. I don't know if I can talk about your proudest achievement being how large we are, but I'd like to know anyway. Okay. No, just kidding. Go ahead.
I could. Our first and major achievement, I would say, is we were working with it, and this sort of was one of the ways that we solidified our mission, which is to bridge the gap between gay and straight audiences, and to, you know. We were working with an independent filmmaker who was mostly working on gay theme projects. It was his niche at least at the time, and his film was not. It wasn't in pre-production at the time. It was essentially a script, and we were able to get that script in. We were able to get the story about the film in the Hollywood Reporter and in Variety, which is the cream of the crop publications for the filmmaking industry, and we were able to get those in there twice in 2 weeks, in addition to some other outlets. So it really helped solidify our mission statement at the time. But in addition to that, obviously the Playgirl, getting Basket in Levi Johnson's Playgirl spread was
was your little thing. How did you do that, Steve Levine? We're going to have to talk about that on the next show, but that was a big one for you.
That was amazing. It was one of those things where it was a risk. I mean, anytime you reach out to the managers and agents and, you know, the handlers of a celebrity, you're going through a brick wall, you know, a lot of the time. It's very hard to penetrate their inner circle. But, you know, I came up with the idea. I thought it was great. It was perfect timing. I said, with what Levi was trying to do and is kind of trying to do is still kind of get in front of the gay community, even though he himself isn't gay. We thought, here's Basket is the predominantly gay consumer base, but also mainstream, and it was perfect. And, you know, we did what we had to do it to get it in front of them, and they decided to run with it. It was great.
Well, that is just the beginning of you. You're going to be skyrocketing. I really think this is just such a great achievement. But it's among the first of many. I'm sure you guys have a ton more. Or will have. Because Levi's got some friends. Levi's got friends.
Send them over.
Yeah. Send them over after midnight for me, bud. Okay. Yes. He's a hottie for sure. I know my husband caught me looking at him. He said, "Are you looking at those young boys again?" I said, "No. Stephen Levine told me to look at them."
Hey.
I've been getting all these hot guys, you know, because Stephen has these incredibly good-looking clients. So, of course, I have to pull them up and look at them, and now I got a perfect excuse when my husband catches me. Even if it's not one of Stephen's clients, I'm like, oh, yeah, Stephen told me to look at them. Oh, yeah, I got this. This is business.
We have to start to keep our clients on more of a leash, or you're going to take them out.
You guys are awesome. I just want, you know, we didn't cover. I have 8 more questions that we're not going to get to because it's 5:50 and Rowan's going to kick us off the air. So I was wondering, I know you guys have a time slot of February. Will you keep the time slot that you already have? live and come back?
Absolutely.
We'd love to.
Yeah, because we got more stuff to talk about, and hopefully you two can go out and pound the pavement, get me some new fresh guys.
You got it.
Get me some hot dudes, some guys.
PR, we do that.
Get me some new guys for the show. Oh, God. Well, you guys are great. Thank you so much. I hope we covered everything. Your agency rocks. You are it. You are young, hot, happening, fresh. And anybody who's listening, this guy, Stephen Levine, as I'm sure Stephen Lucian is, I have not had an email relationship with him.
Absolutely.
But this guy, Stephen Levine, rocks. This guy returns your emails. He is on top of the business. To be so young, it's incredible, because I've just never, ever been in an email relationship that I've been so blissfully happy. he's extremely professional. I mean, he returns the emails. He gets back to you. He is on top of it. So if you're looking for someone
Thank
to represent you.
You
who is on top of it, this guy is for sure. Thank you, guys. Come back in February. Thank you for listening. See you next week
Thanks
on Question
for having us.
Bye, love. Woo!
Do you need a website but don't think that you can afford one? Do you dread the thought of even doing the research to find a company that you can afford? Do you cringe because you know that the person you talk to will try to sell you more than the advertised price? At Design on a Dime websites, we pride ourselves in being able to design original, professional, efficient, creative, and extremely affordable websites. Your website design will load fast, be customized to fit your needs and vision, and be presented in a clear, concise, and easy-to-read format with user-friendly link navigation. We challenge you to find a company that has lower prices and better customer service with beautiful, original designs. So, gather some dimes together and call us today at 213-687-6903 or visit us on the web at designonadime.us for your personal consultation with a very friendly representative who will be able to give you a great website that fits your budget.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.